Welcome to the Teaching Techie. In this presentation, you'll learn about using technology effectively in your teaching. I'm Sarah Swart at the Center for Teaching and Learning at Muskegon Community College. I hope you'll learn something today that you find helpful. First, we'll talk about objectives and goals. We'll cover the four topics at the top of the slide. In site organization, it's recommended to use a minimal number of buttons and then use folders within each area to organize. Using a minimal number of buttons makes it easier for your students to navigate your course. Consistency is key. Organizing each area in a similar fashion makes it easier for your students to use your site. It's important to provide text context for things that are used often, such as your syllabus. You can also use file attachments, but it's recommended that you use PDF and RTF files. PDF stands for Portable Document Format and can be opened in Adobe Reader. That way, if your student is trying to access your content at a public library or other place where they do not have access to Microsoft Office, they'll still be able to open your files. If you're using Office 2007 from Microsoft, or if you're using OpenOffice, there's a PDF converter built right into the program. If not, you can download a free PDF converter from sources such as PrimoPDF.com or PDF995.com. These work very well to convert a document to PDF. Remember that when you're converting a document, PDF actually uses your printer function, and you'll see a PDF printer in your printer menu. When you convert it to PDF, it will automatically come up in PDF format so you can see what it looks like. RTF files stands for Rich Text Format, and can be converted using the Save As function in any word processing program. With RTF files, they can be opened in any word processing program. But I want to emphasize here that it's important to provide text context right on the screen so that downloads are not always necessary for commonly used items. You should communicate regularly with your students via email and announcements. In Blackboard, the announcement feature lets you automatically email every announcement to all participants. You should make your students responsible for reading the announcements at least 3 times a week. If you get an email from a student asking a question that you think will be of interest to the whole class, after replying to the student, it's recommended that you copy and paste the reply without disclosing the student's name into an announcement. Remember to make your site available. Until you make your site available, students will not even see your site on their login page. To do that, you go to the Control Panel, Settings, and Course Availability, switch it to Yes, and click on Submit. At Muskegon Community College, Blackboard interfaces daily with WebAdvisor to update your class list. If you have a student who has a hold with the registrar's office, say they haven't paid their tuition or some other financial hold, then that student will not appear in your class list in Blackboard, and they will not have access to your class. Once they resolve that hold, then they will have access to your class again. If you had already graded some items, Blackboard will retain those records, and once the student is back in your course site, those records will also reappear. The list in Blackboard is updated every day at 7 a.m., 7 days a week. If you're working with a student who has an incomplete, you will need to request a course site through OIT, and give OIT the student's name so that they can enroll that student. Then you'll need to copy the content that the student needs from another course site into the course site created for that student. That student will not be enrolled in your current term course site. On the other hand, if you're working with a directed study student, they will need to register through the enrollment process. A course site will be created with you as their instructor, and you can use that site to work with that directed study student. Course cartridges and other electronic content is often available from your textbook publisher. You can look for either an instructor CD or other resources. Often they are listed in the front of the teacher's edition of your textbook or on the publisher website page for your textbook. A lot of textbook publishers provide a course cartridge, which you will need to request a key from the textbook publisher for. Then once you have that key, you would go to your Blackboard course site, click on Import Cartridge, and you would be able to download all that content right into your site. The content usually includes PowerPoint presentations, test banks, often other kinds of interactive content that you can use with your students. This can greatly enhance the delivery of content to your students, either for use in your units or for additional learning exercises. Next, we'll talk about learning object types. We're going to cover the 5 types of objects listed on this slide. The best practice is for you to make all your folders first. You'll click on the little folder icon and it will give you a form to make a folder. So you will make the folder name in the name field. And then if you want to add a little introductory content, I often like to see a bulleted list on that folder. You put that in the text and then you would submit that. Then, once you get all your folders made, then go back into the folder for the week that you're working on or the unit that you're working on and add items. It's a good idea on the folder names to name them other than just week 1, week 2, etc. So that your students know exactly what content is being presented. Also, in the middle of the term, students may not be clear about whether this is week 6 or week 7. So if you give the content names such as week 3 teaching philosophy, then they're more apt to know the content they need to do. So that way it gives them 2 different ways to make sure they're in the right place. When you click on Add Item, it will give you a format that looks similar to the folder, but this is for an individual item. So you'll type a name again, and then you'll add the content. The text box is where you would either type or copy and paste your content from a Word document or other source. Remember that there is spell check within the tools right in that text box, but you can also spell check it in your word processing document. If you want to add a file, there will be a place for you to browse, find the file, and attach it. If you don't put anything in the name of link to file box, it will use the file name for that link. But you could add something like download document here or something like that, to be clear about what you wanted them to do with that document. Using course links will help your students get to other areas of your course site. A good application of this is to use a course site within the week to link your students to the discussion board for that week. If you choose to do that, you'll want to post the discussion board questions both on the add forum in the discussion board itself and in the course link that you create in the topic area. This way, whichever way your students access the discussion board, they will see the discussion topics that you wish to have discussed. If you don't put them in the course links, it will take them directly to where they'll post and they will have not seen your questions. Again, let me reiterate that you can upload items when needed for download and provide text view on the screen using copy and paste or typing right within the text box. The assignment feature. Within any content area, use the drop-down list on the right-hand side to create assignments. This will also create a Grade Center column for you. Students will then be provided with a View Complete link to upload a file with their assignment. They'll see your instructions. They'll be provided with any additional files that you needed them to have to complete the assignment. Once they turn in the assignment, in your Grade Center, you will see a green box with an exclamation point in it. Your student will see that same green box in their view of the grades. This will indicate to the student that they have turned in their assignment, you have received it, but you have not yet graded it. When you're ready to grade assignments, you can either download them one by one by clicking the chevron next to that little green box, or you could download all the assignments at one time using the settings at the top of the column. You'll click on the chevron at the top of the column, and there will be an option to download all the assignments into a zip folder. Then you'll be presented with a screen to either select all or check off the student names that you want to download. Then you'll unzip it on your computer by double-clicking on it and extract those files, and you'll have all your student files downloaded at one time. Tests and quizzes. I recommend that you use the Pool Manager so that you can create usable questions for every test. That way, if you decide to reuse a question later, you won't have to recreate the question. After you create your pool, you'll use Test Manager to create your tests. You can either upload your tests from a pool, or you can create a random block, and we'll talk about that on a future slide. Then you'll use the test link within the course content area to deploy the test. You'll click on that link that says test, and it will let you browse to find the test that you want to deploy, and then there will be test options link for you to set options. The Grade Center will be automatically created for you. Some of the Test Center options include setting a timed quiz. It's recommended that you allow at least 2 minutes per question to give your students reading and thinking time, but yet not enough time that they can go out and look up the answer to every question, either on the internet or on other printed material that they have available. You can randomize questions. Students will see the questions in a different order from others. You can use random blocks or pools to upload questions from a pool. A random block will give you a block, and you will specify the number of questions. You can select the question types, and then every student will get different questions in their random block. This is a good way to prevent cheating. If you wish to give every student a few common questions, you can also create those questions in the same test separate from the random block. You can also use the pool upload option to use questions from a pool or use a whole pool if you created a pool of just one group of test questions. There are many question types available. You can use the drop-down list to select the question types. If you're not sure about how to format this, if type of question, if you click on the manual in your control panel and keyword search on the name of the question type, you'll see step-by-step instructions. You can also contact the CTL and we'll be happy to help you get going on this. You can also use images for questions and or answers, but you'll need, in creation settings, you'll need to check the boxes that you want to use images. In creation settings, there are several options that apply to your whole test, and so you will need to review those and make sure that the options are set according to your preferences. You'll need to check some options and uncheck other options if you don't want to use them. One of the options in creation settings that is set is the default point for each question type. You may not want to use that. You may want to set the number of points for each question individually, or you may want to set a different number of points than is defaulted in creation settings. There are two different types of links, external links and course links. External links can be used to link to a website, an article from a journal database, anything that you're going to access via the internet. You can set it to open in the Blackboard window or in a new window. Websites do seem to open very clearly in the Blackboard window. And there's a plus and a minus to that. The plus is that if you have a student with a strong pop-up blocker, that new window might not pop up for them. But if you have it open in the Blackboard window, your student won't actually see the URL for the website. So if it's something they need to know, you need to either provide that URL in a separate place or have it open in a new window, being aware of some of the drawbacks that might occur for some students. Using course links, as we talked earlier, is a great way to link from one area of your course to another to make sure your students cover all the content that you expect them to cover. Thank you for listening. I hope you learned something helpful today. If I can be of assistance to you, my phone number and location are printed at the bottom of the screen. Have a great day.